Let's begin with the more aftermath of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Yesterday, the New York Times posted on its website a statement condemning the shooting death of Osama bin Laden. It was a statement from Omar bin Laden and Osama's other children purporting to criticize the raid. It was delivered to our next guest who delivered it to the New York Times. The preference for them would have been that Osama bin Laden be captured alive and stand trial before the world. And over a week after the shooting death of Osama bin Laden, Pakistan has announced it has yet to receive a formal request from the United States for access to those three widows left behind in the Abbottabad compound. The CIA believes the three widows harbor valuable information about the terrorist leader. But what is going on in the bin Laden family? And so far as we can possibly gauge, it's a mysterious, secretive, very well-to-do family in Saudi Arabia. And, of course, the relatives of Osama bin Laden are all over the world. Joining us now is Jean Sasson, author of Growing Up Bin Laden, a memoir of Osama's wife and son. And they take us inside their secret world in Jean Sasson's book. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Fine. Jean is joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia this morning. Is there any way to know, and you have some insights, you know, we can't possibly get because this is a secretive family, but can we know what's going on in the bin Laden family right now, even outside of this critical statement that Osama bin Laden should not have been killed in the raid?
Well, you know, John, there's always compassion, room for compassion for the innocent, and I have found since getting to know these people now nearly 3 years ago that they are innocent and that they had nothing to do with Osama and all the things that he did. In fact, the wives didn't even know about it, but they were in shock when it first happened. I don't know why, because I think everyone in the world has been sort of waiting for this moment since 9/11 and all the other incidences that occurred all over the world that killed a lot of innocent people. But they were in shock, and we have to remember that they saw him in a different way than we saw him. And then after they kept hearing all the different bits of information that dribbled out, you know, we were confused in this country because we would hear one day that he had put up resistance, the next day he had held a wife in front of him, and then later we found out he didn't offer any resistance at all. At least that's the latest, that they don't think that he did as far as picking up a gun and firing at anyone. And the family just, they really want to know more information. I think it's more, we want to know really what happened there, and there's no way of finding out without pressing for that information.
Speaking with Jean Sasson, author of Growing Up Bin Laden, it's a memoir of Osama bin Laden's son Omar and first wife Najwa bin Laden. Can you even speculate what information the three widows left behind in Pakistan might know if they are going to be questioned by the CIA? I mean, based on the relationship that Osama bin Laden had with his first wife.
Well, generally, he keeps everything to do with business from the women and from the smaller children. He keeps them completely away from it, too. However, it may be different in this occasion because before, when he was with Najwa and he was living in Afghanistan, he had a separate office. He met with his men separately. They didn't go into his home or around the women. But he was confined in this villa in Pakistan and really didn't seem to be going anywhere. So they should be able to find out from these wives at least who came and went, how he spent his days. All of, they might have accidentally stumbled onto some information. The question will be, will they have understood what they were seeing since they were kept so far away from his business? Because it seems he kept living just exactly like he did when he was living with Najwa and Omar and the other families before, that he kept himself very distant. He was completely elevated above the family. Everybody around Osama was there to make him happy and to suit his needs and his every wish.
And, of course, son Omar and first wife Najwa may have understood that there was a jihadist dimension to Osama bin Laden, but before the 9/11 attacks, precisely what he was up to might not have been clear to them. This could not possibly be the case for these three other wives in Pakistan,
yes,
right?
Yes, they would have to know, you know, you're running, you're hiding, you're telling your children that you call your husband by another name, uncle. They had a name for him. I saw the little Pakistani children talking about that. So they had to have known that the rest of the world, or at least a large part of the world, considered their husband a criminal and that they were on the run. So, yes, they would have to know that. But as far as him telling them anything pertinent, anything that would help, but certainly I think the government needs to talk to them. Just to see. You never know.
Right. Can you take us through the argument that was put forth yesterday that he should stand trial? Is this out of some curiosity about these family members? Is it a sense of justice? Is it a kind of Christian Islamic charity? Don't kill, thou shalt not kill. What's going on here?
You know, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. And I think, too, that people would be very surprised if they knew the family like I know the family now, despite all the things that Osama did, despite his hatred for America and Christians and Jews. That never filtered down to certainly the son, Omar. He has a great curiosity about America. He has good feelings about it. He had, you know, it was like they always expect America to do differently, or at least the West, than maybe that's done in their countries, that they expected them to arrest him and to take him and have a trial. I don't believe that they ever expected him to go unpunished.
Right. Gene Sasson, before we go, how much work do you have to do to generate sympathy for the bin Ladens, given all we've gone through?
Well, like I said when I first came on, there's always room for compassion. And the family themselves, really, I've known them now for some time, talk to them every day when I was doing their book, still have contact, talk a couple of times a week. And these are really innocent people. And maybe they come across in a way that would irritate Americans, but they come from a different culture and they have a different way of saying things. But their hearts are good. And they really did care when they discovered what happened in America, in Spain, in the U.K. I think they were very shattered by it all. I think this is their true emotion.
Part of the large number of victims of Osama bin Laden on some level.
In a different level,
yeah,
they haven't lost their lives. Yes,
indeed. Mm-hmm. Gene Sasson, author of Growing Up Bin Laden, Osama's Wife and Son Take Us Inside Their Secret World, reacting to the bin Laden raid. Thanks so much, Gene.
You're so welcome. Have a good day.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.